From Vermont Public, this is The Frequency. I'm Henry Epp.
And I'm Anna Van Dyne. It's Thursday, February 9th. Here are today's headlines.
Vermont police agencies on Wednesday responded to reports of active shooters at 21 K-12 schools around the state, but public safety officials quickly determined that the incidents were part of a coordinated hoax. At a press conference, Commissioner of Public Safety Jennifer Morrison said the false reports, often called swatting, were an act of terrorism.
Right now, it's still an active investigation, and we don't know the specific motivation. The assumption, if the assumption that these are swatting calls is true, this is terrorism, to invoke fear and chaos in a community.
Swatting involves the use of false reports of an active emergency to generate a large response from law enforcement and other first responders. The fake threats appear to be associated with similar incidents across the country, according to Vermont State Police. Maine and New Hampshire were hit with similar hoax calls in recent months.
The president of St. Michael's College will step down at the end of June. Lorraine Sterrett took over as the 17th president of the private liberal arts college in Colchester in 2018. In a letter posted on the college's website this week, Sterrett said she's retiring to, quote, devote more time to family and friends. Sterrett is the first woman to lead St. Mike's. She helped develop a new strategic plan and led the school through the pandemic. The Board of Trustees says it'll decide in the coming months whether to select an interim or permanent leader.
Elsewhere in higher ed, the Vermont State College System announced on Tuesday that libraries at all five of its campuses will go digital next year. That means the circulation of physical materials, like, you know, books, will end. The college's interim president said the decision is data-driven and will, quote, provide greater equity of access to our library services. College officials also announced upcoming changes to some of their athletic programs. Sports teams at the Johnson campus will be downgraded from the NCAA to a league called the USCAA, and teams at Randolph will become club teams, according to VT Digger. These changes come as Northern Vermont University, Castleton University, and Vermont Technical College all merged to become a single entity known as Vermont State University.
A Vermont State trooper who's being investigated for stealing property from an evidence storage room, including a Rolex watch, has resigned. Trooper Giancarlo DiGenova was suspended with pay in December while detectives investigated accusations of grand larceny, possession of stolen property, and other charges. That's according to NBC 5. No charges have been filed against DiGenova. The criminal investigation is ongoing, according to state police.
Coming up, how ARPA money is still winding its way to Vermont's small towns. More after this.
Thanks for tuning in to The Frequency, and thanks to VITA for their support. VITA, celebrating 50 years of helping Vermont businesses grow and thrive. From agriculture to energy, startups to established companies, find solutions that fit your business. Visit veda.org to start your next chapter.
Nearly 2 years after Congress passed the pandemic stimulus program known as the American Rescue Plan Act, or ARPA, Vermont still has more than $1 billion to give out. And as our colleague Howard Weiss-Tisman explains, state officials want to make sure that some of Vermont's smaller towns and neediest communities get their fair share.
Agency of Commerce and Community Development Secretary Lindsay Curley was in Windham County Monday to talk about the federal COVID relief program.
And really the goal is to ensure that if we can get money into your region, that we get money into your region. So,
Deputy Administration Secretary Doug Farnham said when the state looked at where the money from the American Rescue Plan was going this past summer, it became clear that there were winners and losers.
We had to prepare an annual report last summer, and looking at that annual report, we could see that the distribution of those funds appeared to be concentrated in certain areas of the state and did not appear to be hitting every section of the state.
The state ranked the counties on most need, based on things like decline in workforce and property values. And some of the neediest counties, like Essex and Bennington, had the fewest ARPA projects, while Chittenden, Franklin, and Washington counties were making the most use of the federal dollars. Meetings like this are happening in every county, and Farnham said now is the time for smaller towns to figure out what projects they want to invest in. Projects have to be identified before the end of 2024.
We really need to try to make sure everyone in Vermont has an equal shot at accessing these funds. It is really an opportunity to get things done that normally we would not have the resources to do in our in our smaller state.
State officials were in Bellows Falls Monday to talk about water and wastewater projects, housing, farming and forestry, flood mitigation, and even libraries. State Librarian Kathy Del Neo said there are about $26 million to invest in the state's public libraries.
If your library has walls in the roof and you're a small, rural, economically depressed community, this would be money to apply for.
For a lot of towns, the big challenge is having the staff to identify projects and then work through the complex federal applications. Towns like Marlboro and Brookline, which both had representatives at the meeting, don't have a planning department or even a full-time town manager to make sure they get their fair share of the federal money. Londonderry Town Administrator Shane O'Keefe said he came out to the meeting in Bellows Falls to find out what kind of help his town could get.
We're a small town of less than 2,000, and our ability to take advantage of this funding is really, really limited. And it's really tough for a small town that really has no staff, other than a town administrator.
The Scott administration wants $3 million to hire consultants who can work directly with the towns to help them identify projects and hopefully restore balance to ARPA's winners and losers. For Vermont Public, I'm Howard Weiss-Tisman in Bellows Falls.
Thanks for listening to The Frequency today. We had additional reporting from Pete Hirschfeld, Brittany Patterson, Karen Anderson, and Kevin Trevelin.
Our executive producer is Mark Davis, and our music is by Blue Dot Sessions. I'm Anna Van Dyne.
And I'm Henry Epp. Talk to you tomorrow. I was also listening to one of my old features from like 2018. Mm-hmm. I just could not stand the sound of my voice. It was so annoying. And I just kept putting a really hard T on Vermont.
Yeah, my voice has changed more than yours.
Oh, wait till you hear my, like, 2012 stuff.
I still have the very first thing I made for my college radio station.
Oh, nice, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Every episode of Brave Little State begins with a question about Vermont that's been submitted and voted on by listeners like you. What happened to all the restaurant workers? What's the deal with Vermont's fire towers? Why do people like the band Phish? Follow Brave Little State wherever you get podcasts. From Vermont Public, part of the NPR network.